The proposed Keystone XL pipeline link would bring tar sands oil from Alberta, Canada, through North Dakota, all the way to the Gulf Coast in Texas. The project has been in and out of the courts for years and continues to be a controversial point of protest, especially for Native Americans in the region. In response to a federal court order, State Department officials recently held a public hearing about the project's safety and environmental impact. That very same day, nearly 400,000 gallons of oil spilled from a leak in an existing portion of the pipeline into a wetland in North Dakota. For more, I'm joined now by Doug Hayes, a senior attorney at the Sierra Club. Doug, welcome to Living on Earth.
Thanks for having me.
These spills seem to keep happening. Talk to me, please, about the history of TransCanada Energy's pipelines when it comes to oil spills.
Sure. Well, the Keystone One pipeline was approved in 2008 and came online in 2010. At the time, they billed it as state-of-the-art technology, one of the safest pipelines ever built, and it spilled 35 times in its first year of operation alone. So that was 14 times in the United States and 21 times in Canada. And then in the last few years, we've seen at least four significant spills. So this pipeline spill in North Dakota was almost 400,000 gallons. In 2017, there was another spill of around 400,000 gallons in South Dakota. Also, there were big spills in 2011 and 2016. A lot of these seem to have been caused by problems created during construction. So TC Energy seems to have some serious problems with their Keystone system.
Doug, how does it strike you that at the same time that TransCanada Energy is trying to move the Keystone project forward, and in fact they are at a public hearing in Billings, Montana, that same day you get this rather large spill? What does it tell you about the company?
It certainly causes some concern and casts doubt on their assurances that this pipeline will be operated safely. The larger problem is that these pipelines cross, and Keystone XL in particular, would cross over 1,000 waterways. One of the main concerns on the Keystone XL pipeline is the crossing of the Missouri River, which is just outside the Fort Peck, Assiniboine, and Sioux Reservation in Montana. The pipeline would cross under the Missouri River, just upstream from their water supply system. And that's just one of many places where a spill would cause catastrophic damage. Also, the pipeline would cross the Ogallala Aquifer and other important water resources in Nebraska and other places along the pipeline route.
Well, surely there are more concerns than just drinking water. I mean, in a wetland, there are a number of creatures, from amphibians, birds, all kinds of creatures that rely on drinkable water themselves.
That's right. And the federal judge in Montana last year ruled that the State Department had not adequately analyzed the risk of oil spills to endangered species. So there are several endangered species along the pipeline route, birds like the whooping crane, interior least tern, the piping plover, and in the Missouri River, there's the pallid sturgeon, the endangered pallid sturgeon. So you're right. Oil spill in any of these, not just into the waterways, but anywhere along the pipeline route, would have significant impacts to species that live along the route.
What are the complicating factors in cleaning up these types of spills?
The oil pipelines that carry tar sands crude oil pose unique risks because the tar sands oil is what's known as diluted bitumen. It behaves differently when released into waterways. So if you think about a conventional crude oil spill onto waterways, a lot of it will float on the top, and there's a certain spill response mechanisms that they can use, such as skimmers and booms and other things that would contain the spill. With tar sands crude oil or diluted bitumen, it's much heavier and it separates, and a lot of the properties fall to the bottom of the water column. So a lot of those traditional cleanup technologies are ineffective for tar sands crude. So they're only just realizing, you know, some of these unique risks and coming up with ways to respond to tar sands spills. But so far, the conventional cleanup technologies have proven ineffective.
Now, talk to me about the legal battles going on around the Keystone Pipeline system. I gather that there's a lawsuit that your organization, the Sierra Club, and other groups, including what the NRDC and the Center for Biological Diversity, the Bold Alliance, perhaps, and others, have against the U.S. Army Corps. What is that suit all about, and what's its status?
You're right. We have a coalition of environmental groups, including the ones that you just named, have a lawsuit challenging the U.S. Army Corps' approval of the pipeline in federal court in Montana. And the lawsuit challenges the Army Corps' streamlined approval process for the majority of the water crossings along the Keystone XL route. So as I said, the pipeline would cross about 1,200 different waterways. There are outstanding permits that the Army Corps still has to grant for the Missouri River crossing in Montana, and that's the subject of the ongoing environmental review. So that approval has not happened yet, but the Army Corps has already approved the vast majority of the pipeline's water crossings in the four states without doing any meaningful environmental review, without allowing the public to be involved, without evaluating oil spills at all. It's a streamlined process that the Corps uses called Nationwide Permit 12. It's sort of a blanket approval, and that's what the lawsuit is challenging.
So what's the status of the construction of completing Keystone XL right now?
So TC Energy has not started construction of the Keystone XL pipeline. The injunction imposed by the federal court in Montana prevented them from starting any construction in 2019. They began to do some pre-construction work, which includes building the worker camps, stocking pipes in pipe yards and so forth, but they did not complete all of that work in 2019 and just last month announced that they would not do any further pre-construction. So no single mile of Keystone XL pipeline has been constructed yet.
To what extent does the future of efforts to complete the Keystone XL pipeline project depend on who occupies the White House a little more than a year from now?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, the State Department, since 1968, has had permitting process over cross-border pipelines like Keystone XL. Last year, Trump threw that out the window and said, from now on, you know, the president will sign the permits himself. Or herself. And I think because he essentially scrapped the process altogether and made a unilateral decision, I think that, you know, really opens the door to the potential for an incoming president to reverse that decision. If TC Energy were to start construction of the pipeline next year, I think that it would not yet be operational by the time that January 2021 comes along and a new president comes into office.
Doug Hayes is a senior attorney with the Sierra Club. Doug, thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
Sure, happy to be here.